The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
I want to begin this teaching today by asking a question. What would you do if you found yourself in a situation where someone was needing to be defended? Would you speak up or would you keep silent? Brethren, I believe this is a question that we all need to consider, and I think that we need to ask ourselves, what would I do? Because whether you understand it or not, the Bible actually tells us what our reaction is to be. Now, with that in mind, please go with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. At this point, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verse 8. Open your mouth for the dumb. This word dumb doesn't mean people who are not smart. This is referring to people who are speechless, meaning the sense of it is those who cannot speak for themselves. There are various reasons why people cannot speak for themselves, and that would be who it is referring to. So we're told that we are to open our mouth for those who cannot speak for themselves, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. And verse 9 says, open the mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Or as it might better be translated, or speak up for the poor and needy. I want you to put a marker here in Proverbs 31, and I want you to go with me now to Proverbs 29. Go back just a couple of pages to Proverbs 29, and we're going to read a few selected verses in there. The first verse we're going to read in Proverbs 29 is verse 7. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked regards not to know it, not to pay any attention to those who are in need. Verse 14. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Now that's an important principle. That's an important point in regards to this particular teaching today, and it's an important point in regards to our lives. We are all in the process of becoming kings and priests. And so all of this is talking about us, or talking, at least the principles there are for us. Verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgressions increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. Living is not going to last. There is wickedness. We're in a world of wickedness, but we're going to see that all coming down, and this is what this is referring to. It basically says the same thing in verse 18. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous shall see their fall. Okay, I want us to see now a very interesting verse. And I've read this verse many, many times before until I started into preparing for this particular teaching. I didn't see it in this context. But I find it very interesting, and so I want to read this at the very beginning here in this message. And so I want you to go with me to Jeremiah 22. Because here, God says that judging the cause of the poor and needy is equated to knowing Him. Wow, from that statement itself, without even reading the verse, I think this is a pretty important point. So let's go to Jeremiah 22 and verse 16. 22:16. He judges the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? That's what this is saying. He is saying that if we really, if we judge the cause in a right way, if we speak up for, if we judge the cause of those who cannot speak for themselves, those who are the needy, in essence, it's knowing God. Now, that's asking for a show of hands, but how many of us want to know God? Well, obviously, this is a very important point. Brethren, we need to realize God has a lot to say about those who are weak and poor and the needy, or in some translations, it actually, instead of the word needy, it has the word fatherless. Now, fatherless are needy, but it's not limited to fatherless, but they are needy. And so some translations have limited to that, but it's a really important point to get that. And so with this in mind, I think it's good that we would go through and take a look at some passages where God is telling us that He is in favor of, He will judge righteously, and He wants us to deal with this. And so I want us to take a look at just a few of these passages. There are many, many more, but I want us to read just a few. The first one I want us to see is in Psalm 82, verse 3, and I'm reading this from the New King James Version. Psalm 82 and verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. It's pretty straightforward that he's telling us, God is telling us, that we are to be doing something, that we are to be defending them. And from the passage that we saw at the very beginning, it says we're to speak up for those who don't have a voice, that cannot speak up for themselves. The next one is in Isaiah 1 in verse 17, and this is from one of those alternate translations, but it's still worded in a way that I like it. Isaiah 1, 17, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 18. And I'm going to tell you up front, we're going to read several verses today. We're going to read several different ones. I heard an evangelist in Pasadena one time in a class. He was telling us, he said, stand behind the scriptures. You don't have to apologize for reading scriptures to get your point across. Sometimes you just read the verse, that is your point. That's pretty much what we're doing. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18. This is from the New International Version. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. Now, there are also some obvious things attached to that, to the foreigner who is residing among the people, meaning the people of God. And that is, and it says, in giving them food and clothing. And one of those things is they too are embraced this godly way of life. Isaiah 10, back to Isaiah. Working those hinges on that Bible today. Isaiah 10 and verse 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Now, just ask the question. I know we all know the answer. The answer is yes. Do we see any of this going on in our society today? Yes, we do. And it's an abomination to God. And so all of this is insightful for us to come to the place that we understand that we're to be doing something. We're to be doing something. We see from just this limited number of verses that we've seen something that about God, and that is how he sees them. So a question that I think we need to ask ourselves is how do we see them? How do we see those who are the poor and the needy and the fatherless, you know, in their situations? Brethren, we also need to understand living God's way of life requires that our hearts turn to the fatherless, because this is where God's heart is turned. I'm not going to go there because this is really not the topic of the message today, but you can go to Malachi 4 and verse 6, and it says, if it's not done, that he's going to strike the earth with curse or with utter destruction. So somebody is going to need to be doing these things. Somebody is going to need to defend those that are in need of defending, to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and to plead the cause of those who are the poor and the needy. And that is a warning, and obviously that warning is to the church. When we think about this, that this is where obviously God's heart is turned. I mean, his heart is turned to all people. We understand that. I'm not isolating this, you know, and limiting it to this. But I am pointing it out that God's heart is toward the fatherless and the widow, because he says if somebody isn't taking care of them and like they need to be taken care of here, he's going to strike the earth with a curse or with utter destruction. And so if he cares that much, a question that I think that we need to consider and ask ourselves is, do you think that we could do any less or could do any less? Is any less expected of us? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 31. You've got a marker there. At least I hope you do. And we could reread those verses, but I'm not. But a lot of times I like you to turn to passages so that you will have it in front of you, so that you'll know what we're speaking about. We can see that we are to defend the weak, the poor, the needy people, and protecting them. That's very obvious from all of these verses, and going back to Proverbs 31, again, that just makes it very clear when you have all of these other verses with it. And we are to speak up on their behalf. Because you see, brethren, we are to defend everyone who needs our help. Because in one time or another, in different situations, one or another, all of these people that are being described here, the weak, the poor, the needy, the fatherless, who need to be from time to time defended and someone to speak up for them, that's pretty much everyone. And so we need to be aware of that. This is what we're looking at. To put it in a real straightforward way, we are told that we are to open our mouth and say something. Go with me to Psalm 72. Psalm 72 and verse 12. Psalm 72 and verse 12. So he shall deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him that has no helper. Who do you think this is talking about? Brother, it's talking about us. Bringing it down to modern day, this is talking about us. This is talking about the church of God. Now I want us to go to Proverbs 14, and I'm going to read this also out of the NIV. Proverbs 14 in verse 2. It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy. So, whatever it is that we're to be doing, we're to be speaking up and pleading the cause for people who are in need, obviously, we are not to be despising these people, looking down upon them, because God says, you don't do that, but you are blessed if you are kind to them, if you have the godly heart toward these people that are in whatever whatever the situation is where they're in this need. We read this verse earlier, but I want to read it again, and I want to read it this time in the King James Version. It's in Isaiah 1 in verse 17. Isaiah 1:17, it says, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." Now this word judge, when it says judge the fatherless, it is not talking about that we're to be on a bench and we're to be judging against them. That's not what this is referring to. It actually has the sense here of we're to be on their side. We're to be in favor of them, taking care of them. They are fatherless. This is a bad thing in God's sight for someone to be a fatherless person. And we're to judge that on the behalf of that type of person. Go back to Proverbs 31 again, because I want you to be there as we make some additional points here. Doing these things that we read here in Proverbs 31 is not limited to money. Even though, in the sense of the word in the Hebrew, it could be including giving them money. But it's not limited to that. But it would, or it could certainly be included. So once you go, we're in Proverbs 31, I want you to go down to verse 20. This is one of the statements that's made about the virtuous woman. Now, who is the virtuous woman in the context? It's symbolic of the church of God. In Proverbs 31 and verse 20, it says, "She stretches forth her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy." Now, like I said, it is not necessarily limited to money, but it certainly could, through the sense of the Hebrew here, be referring to money. But I want us to understand it's not limited to money. But if the person is in that need and we have that wherewithal to be able to help them, if we can help them, we help them. If we can't financially help them, do you think that relieves us of our responsibility? No, I think that there are times whenever we can look for ways to get them whatever it is that they're needing. And I know there's all kinds of things that are running through people's mind. Yes, but I've done this and I've been taken advantage of. And I've done this and they don't appreciate it. And I've done these other. I know. I'm not dealing with those. I'm dealing with what God says. I'm trying to establish what our heart is to be toward. That's what I'm looking at here. And we'll see some of this other as we go along. I think at this place, it's a good place where we need to ask ourselves, do we know what we are to say as we defend those who cannot defend or cannot speak up for themselves? I think that it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty clear, just reading it, that we are to speak up and we're to plead the cause. What do we say? Do you know what to say? Do you know where to go to find out what it is that we are to say? The answer is we are to defend with righteousness and truth against anyone who is a liar or speaking against a person who can't speak for themselves, the needy, those kinds of things, and those who are the oppressors. And this point of righteousness and truth is referring to the Word of God. We're to be able to go to the Word of God. And so a question, again, that we need to ask ourselves, I think you see very clearly that I like to ask a lot of questions without giving a lot of the answers. We all come to it ourselves. And that is, but do we really know what the Word of God says that we're to be doing? Is it really in the Bible where it tells? Yeah, we've already been seeing some things. It just says that we're to do it. The how to do it and all hadn't really gotten into. We're still establishing another point. We are to contend. Some might want to use the word fight for. I don't really want to use that particular word, but we're to have that we are somewhat an advocate for those who are in need or being attacked or that are being threatened and they cannot defend or they cannot speak up for themselves. So yes, very clear. We are to stand up and we're to use our mouth. And through doing so, doing it out of righteousness and truth, we are to shut the mouth of the wicked. You go, yeah, but that's not going to happen in this world. Does that excuse us from doing what God instructs us to do? I'm just putting thoughts into our minds, and just some thoughts that I think that we need to consider, we need to think about. In other words, do not let sin stand. Do not let it have its place. You may not stop it. You may not cause it to be overturned or any of those kinds of things in our society today. I understand that. But it's very plain. This does not say when you know that the outcome is always going to be positive the way that you want it to go. That is not what the context says. It's instructions on what we are to do. And this is what we're looking at. Now, I told you to go back to Proverbs 31. I want us to take a look in the context here. Because what we're going to read several of the verses. What we're looking at here is we are seeing where King Lemuel's mother, who is also a type of the church, is talking to her son. And the son here is not a type of Jesus Christ of and by itself. And so it's not like the mother church talking to the son. You know, Jesus, that's not what it is, and don't jump to that conclusion. But she is used in a way of teaching her son how to do righteousness, how to be righteous and an honorable and a virtuous king. Now, who is King Lemuel? The answer is, I don't know. I suspect that it's referring to Solomon, and there's a lot of different commentaries on who he is, and some come to that conclusion, some come to others. I make the assumption that it is Solomon, and so this is his mother that is giving him counsel, as a wise mother would do to her son, who is either going to be or even is the king. And he listens. And he listens. Also, before we read some of these verses, and we are going to get in that just a little and read some of these, I want us to consider back in the time of, and I'm going to say back during the time of Solomon, or at least back during the time of the Old Testament kings. They were autocratic. They said it was law. Now, whether we would agree that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's not my point. The point is, these kings, were so powerful that they had so much power and authority upon them that they were either allow or disallow judgment, and I'm talking about in a right sense here, to even to come against any person. Now, we would say, well, that's not the American system. We're not looking at the American system, and I would not necessarily agree with the American system anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Even though what we're going to see in this context is, even though there might not be any financial reward for pleading the cause of those who were the needy and the poor, a virtuous king would do it anyway and would make judgments righteously. And that's what she's asking him. That's what she's teaching him how to do. And so I wanted to give you a little that thought before we just go in and read the verses. But I do want us to read some of these verses. And so let's go to Proverbs chapter 31 and beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to read this from the NIV. I think it's a little clearer stated. I don't mean that necessarily it's not more accurate in what it says, but I think it's more clearly stated for us today. Verse 1. The sayings of King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him. So he is speaking these words, and he is saying, and these words that I'm speaking to, I'm paraphrasing heavily here, and it's like, but in these words that I'm telling you here, I'm speaking to you here, I got them from my mother. She taught me. That's a better way of looking at this than how we just read it straightforward in the King James. Listen, my son, listen, son of my womb, listen, my son, the answer to my prayer. Do not spend your substance, meaning your wealth, is what that word would literally mean, on women. Your vigor on those who ruin kings. We could imagine all kinds of interpretations of how this could be interpreted, and most of it would probably be correct. It is not for kings, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know if that's telling us that we shouldn't be drinking wine. Is something that we are to be considering from the point of view of that we are to be kings and priests, and at least we're training for that. Not for rulers to crave strong drink. In the NIV, it actually says beer. Now, they didn't have beer as such as we know it, so I know that's not a correct word. King James says strong drink. In other words, something that can cause you to lose your balance in thinking and in physical balance or whatever. Verse 5. Lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. Now, this is all the leading up to the two verses that we read. And so now it kind of makes a little more sense when you read it all together. Let beer or strong drink be for those who are perishing, and wine for those who are in anguish or those who are depressed. Verse 7. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Verse 8. Now we come to the two verses. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Sounds like good advice to me. But the point is, we are told that we're to defend, we're to speak up for. That's pretty straightforward because we have it in so many other places. So, let me ask you a question here. What do you think it is that hinders or that delays or that stops some men and women, and I am focusing primarily of those within the Church of God, from being great and impressive or honorable? So am I saying that there are some in the church who are not this way and they could be? My answer is yes, exactly what I'm saying. So what do you think that is? Well, I'm telling you, this is me, this is my personal opinion. I don't normally give personal opinions, but this is my personal opinion. I believe the answer is they are afraid to speak up. And that's for a lot of reasons. I mean, after all, they rationalize, it may cost me something. And it's not limited to money. I have had people say, I don't want to get involved because it may cost me. That's not necessarily what their word was, but that's what they're saying. That's direct opposite of what Scripture tells us. Now, I also understand, I do realize this speaking up has a lot of ramifications. I understand that. And I also understand that we need to look at some of the things that the Bible is saying about this particular teaching a little bit more in detail, seeing what's going on. I came up with several reasons why many people, including leaders and even members within the Church of God, not even dealing with our society, I'm more focusing now within the Church of God, do not want to get involved and do not want to speak up. I've got a list. This is what I came up with. You could have your own list, and I would even recommend you add two. What are some of your reasons? If you are not speaking up, you might, yeah, but I didn't know I was supposed to. Okay, well, I understand. Now, after today, we're going to understand. And I'm going to give you a list now, but I'm going to wait and give you one at the end. So let me give you my list now. Here's a few of them. I've got them as bullets. Because they value peace and quiet in their lives more than harm or potential harm to innocent people. Most every one of these, I could actually give you examples. Because they do not want to go against the popular opinion or against the political correct opinion or against church tradition. Now, just asking a question. What if all three of those are incorrect according to the Bible? Because they are intimidated or they are frightened by others holding a strong opinion. I have seen this more often in the church from ministers who hold a strong opinion. And they will back down members who come up with, yes, but this isn't what the Bible says. And the minister who has this real strong opinion overpowering the other person will back down. Now, neither one of those ways is correct, but I've seen that and I offer that one. Because they fear being opposed. Because they fear ridicule. Because they fear rocking the boat. Because they fear making a mistake. Because they fear getting involved and not being able to easily get out. I don't want to help this widow because somebody else told me that they helped her and they got so involved it took them years before they could actually get away from being involved with her. And you know where I would come? I would say, and show me the verse that you back that up with. I'm not saying they're not consequences. That's not my point. Because they feel their effort will not be appreciated. And then one more here. They fear it will cost them something and not just limiting it to money. And yet, brother, here's the thing. God has instructed us to open our mouth. And I want us to all realize and understand this. We cannot do any good by being silent and allowing evil to happen toward these people that we are aware of, that are the poor, the weak, the needy, the fatherless. Well, it's not my responsibility. It is now, because you're aware of it. I know this next statement, some could take this and saying, this is really too strong. Okay, I'm going to state it anyway. It is our duty before God and man to rebuke and warn sinners. Now, please understand, I haven't talked about how we do this, have I? I'm still establishing the fact of we are to do certain things. And then you have to go, okay, now that we understand where to do them, how do you do it? When do you do it? What's the situation? We haven't gotten into any of that. We are to speak up and we are to plead the cause, because this is what we're seeing from Scripture. Okay, I want us to look at some passages in God's Word that instructs us on this particular point. Now, we've seen some, I want to see some that brings it in a little different way. Okay, the first one is in Leviticus 19, verse 17. Leviticus 19 and verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor, and not suffer sin upon him. Now, I like the NIV on this last part much better. Rebuke your neighbor. This means if you speak up against him, and not share in their guilt. Is this telling us that if we see these things going on and we could speak up, and we don't, we're sharing in the guilt of this person? I'm sorry, but that's how I read this verse. Ezekiel 3, verse 18. Ezekiel 3, 18. This is again from the New International Version. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and he's going to die for his own sins, but his blood I will require at your hand. These are warnings to the church of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn, and also could mean admonish or speak up, them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. So, speak up, say something. It may not be so true within our society, because there are times you could speak up against something in a society and you could wind up in jail because they have laws on that favor, and we go, this is not right. This is not right. According to God, this is what the Bible says, and we shouldn't be doing that. Okay, you go ahead and speak up. You're speaking out against the laws of the land, and today we may not be able to really have any impact. We may wind up in jail. I'm not saying if we don't have the opportunity, we don't do it. I'm just saying I understand the impact may not be what we would want it to be or think it should be, and it certainly won't be done according to the way God wants it to be. However, at least within the Church of God, if we allow wickedness to take place, then we are an accomplice if we don't do something or speak up about it. If someone is getting a bad rap and we're aware of it, we have a responsibility to speak up. And as we can see, I am not yet addressing the how we go about doing these things. And I mean, there is a right and a wrong way of speaking up. In other words, what I'm saying is we cannot just simply go around telling everyone off for their wrong words or their wrong actions. We don't have that responsibility in or out of the church. It's just not there. And so the how we do it is just as important as we are to do this. We're to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. You go, hold it, wait a minute. What do I say? How do I go about doing it? We're not, we haven't addressed that yet. But we have to understand, we can't just go around telling people off in or out of the church. Well, you're wrong because, well, it doesn't make any difference. We don't have, there's no scripture that says we're to do that. There's a right and a wrong way of speaking up. We are to judge righteously. That's what the verse says in Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. That's what it says is judge righteously. In other words, we have to know what the Bible says. We have to know what the Word of God says on this given situation. Which is going to mean what? A lot of time in the Word of God to be before we can do these things. So what am I saying? We need to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. Because we're told we're to do these things, but we need to do it in a godly way. We're to do it the way God would want us to do it, and He tells us in His Word how we're to do these things. Which is going to take a lot of prayer, a lot of Bible study, probably a lot of fasting, to be able to get this into our minds and in our hearts, to be able to do this. And yes, we are to be doing it. I also want us to understand that we are not to judge any issue, any situation based upon our feelings, our habits, our opinions, or our authority, whether it's real or imagined authority, or traditions. The only thing that we can do is righteousness, is what God judges to be right, and that is revealed plainly throughout the pages of the Bible. So we are to know what God has said on it before we really can do much about any of these situations. We are to take our stand on what the Scriptures teach and nothing else. I've got stories that keep coming into my mind as I'm standing here, and it would be good for you to know, but I'd make this a whole lot longer sermon than it is. All actions must be connected to God's Word, having been tried by the Word of God, and anything contrary must be rejected. I want us to see some words of David, what David's thought and attitude was on this, showing us what our attitude needs to be. Let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 128. 119 verse 128. Therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. He's not implying that he knew everything that was there. He is just saying, whatever God says, that's what I believe. And I hate everything that's contrary to that. And that needs to be our statement. That needs to be where we are. The question is this our attitude? David also made another real interesting statement. He asked God to put somewhat of a governor over his mouth so that he wouldn't say the wrong thing. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Shut my mouth so that I do not say anything that is so that I don't say anything that's contrary to what your word is. Jesus made the statement, I don't speak my own words. I speak the words of the Father. And I know, and quickly, people, even in the church, rationalize and say, yes, but he was the Son of God. And I come back and go, yes, but he was a blood flowing, oxygen flowing in his body, bone, physical, flesh, human being, just as we are. And he only spoke the words of God. That should be our goal. That should be what we would want to do. And that is what David is saying, even though that's not what the words are. Okay, now I want you to go to the book of Isaiah with me at this time. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We don't want people to be able to say that about us. Even though we now understand, at least we have the words, that we are to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, defend the cause of those, plead the cause of those who are having these different types of issues. But we want to speak it according to the words of God. We want to speak God's word, not just any old thing, because somebody could come back with this verse. Yeah, but what you're saying is contrary to the word of God. And that doesn't help anything. In other words, we cannot just say anything. We are to speak up, but we can't just say anything. It has to be according to the word of God. We've already seen this. We are to plead the cause. We are to defend righteousness and godliness against attacks upon people who cannot, especially upon who cannot defend themselves. We are to show sinners their errors. We are to show fools their folly. We are to show the hateful their hatefulness. And we are to get intense about doing these things. Because we know that what we're going to say is according to the word of God. And we need to be able to do that. And we are to do that. Doing it God's way. If we can help a person who is a victim, who cannot defend themselves, cannot speak up for themselves, then we are to get involved against that and those who are seeking to harm them. And we're to do it through God's ways, God's words, that's found in the Bible. I want to mention here an example, an inappropriate response or reaction to somebody out of the Bible that had an opportunity to be able to speak up and plead the cause of a person who was about to be harmed. And they didn't. And it's recorded for all time that we have this as a clear-cut example of how not to do it. From a human position of leadership and authority, both Pilate and Herod could have intervened to save Jesus Christ. However, neither one of them had the courage nor the righteousness to do so. They both were in a position to speak up and to plead the cause. However, they allowed this angry mob to actually rule the day, and they killed Jesus Christ. They were both afraid it would cost them something. And their lack of action in doing the right thing in this situation, they have both gone down in history as being seen as cowardly compromisers. Now, of course we know Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, as we are told in Revelation 13 in verse 8. In other words, it was going to happen. However, we need to understand this does not negate or take away the point about Pilate and Herod. It is there as a clear-cut example where someone could have done it. And I know we can come back and say, no, they could have never done it because he was slain. It was going to happen anyway. They did nothing. And that's a real example for us to take a look at and not do nothing. So, brother, for us to be ready to defend the poor and needy, we need the certainty of words to be fitted within our mouth. And I use certain words there because they're actually verses. They're words out of the verses in the Scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22 and verse 17. Bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, they shall withal be fitted in your lips. In other words, I will give you the words to say. If you've got the words of God in you, you're going to be able to have the words that are going to be fitted to your mouth. You will know what to say. This is what he is saying here. That your trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you, have not I written to you excellent things and counsel and knowledge, that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that are sent unto you. This is the summation of what I've been saying. We're to exalt God, and we're to know what God would want us to do, know what God would want us to say. I mean, that's what 1 Peter 3:15 says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer of the to all men that ask the hope that lies within you. Somebody's being oppressed. We should be able to know. We need to be able to know what the Bible says, how we need to deal with it. You remember earlier I said that I'm on a little bit later, give you one final point why people don't speak up and they don't get involved. Well, it's a little later, and that's what I want to speak on now. And that reason is because they are not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what boils down to most of us. We probably most don't spend enough time in prayer and study and really understanding and praying and fasting and asking God to give us the words of the Bible within our mouth in our hearts so that we're able to speak up. But I think really more than anything, what it comes down to us is we don't abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the real key to knowing when and how and even what we are to say in these situations, it all hinges upon abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay tuned. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless them, or bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, you are blessed. You are blessed with God's name upon you. Happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.